Welcome to another inspiring message from the Cornerstone Church Enugu.
Praise God. God is good. You know, when I was somehow I was holding, hope against all hopes that I'm going to jump and pass something. You know, that this cup will pass over me. When I was hoping, there was a time I was just hoping, oh, no, this cup has to pass. I said, no, it has to, it has to. So I was hoping, holding on to hope against hopes. Now my mama will come and help my life. Then one day she sent me a message, it was my birthday. And then people were sending me happy messages, happy birthday. Then suddenly, person she sent me a message, it was happy birthday. I was like, ah. Only it was no longer a happy birthday. Because from the happy birthday message, we entered into your calling, right? We entered into, you don't be as you don't be. I said, how? All my bubbles were busted that day. And I knew that Stephanie, or Google. But thank God, here we are. God has been helping our lives. Praise God. Don't worry, I'm speaking in riddles, but if you know, the Lord is good. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So we've been on the theme, surrendered. Amen. And last week, Sachinyere blessed my heart so much. Blessed my heart. I hope he did yours as he did mine. Praise the Lord. Thank God for the gifts in this house. I'm so grateful to God for the gifts in this house. And I'm always blessed to receive or just drink of these gifts. So thank you so much, Ma, for last week. God bless you tremendously. Amen. So again and again, over the past, the weeks, and even last week, she also really emphasized on that the surrender is not something you do and then you've done it. It's a daily thing. Every day we are surrendering to God. Amen. You know, when Hill City was singing, what's a worship song? So just what came to my heart is that, it's not just that he comes into the house of the barren. He literally goes to the pile of dump and takes a person and cleans the person up. You now see this person and see Jesus. Ah, I just said, what? Literally, that's what Jesus did. Because, earth was a pile of dung. He didn't say, no, I'm too holy. Let me see how I will just, He literally came into the dung, around St. Philip's. Let me not say the people that are living there. Anyway, somewhere around Noah's, there's a dumpster. There's not dumpster where we go. Now it's better. Before, everyone will see the place to stand to now throw your, debt into the can. But now, thank God for S-Farmer. The Lord is helping them. So at least you can come there and it's neat. But I'm saying that everywhere will usually be messy. Rain will fall. You can come just pass there. You will know you pass a dumpster. Then imagine that this is how dirty, because the Bible tells us the whole world was filled with darkness. And the Holy One came down into that dump, identified with me. Who is in the dung? And then took me out of it. Washed me clean. So when he says to surrender to him, I don't even know what choice you have. Do you understand? When it is surrender to me, what choice do you have? It's not like you knew what to do before. It's not like you knew how to help yourself. It's not like you knew how to direct your path. You didn't even know you were in the dung. Right? You didn't even know you needed help. You didn't even know there's a better way. So he identified with us in our most miserable state. So the only choice we have is literally to give our all to him. And I hope you are making that choice. I hope that daily you get to do that surrendering, because really, that is how you stay chaste in this dark world. That is how you stay untainted. Do you agree with me? The Bible says in Amos 3:3, it says two cannot walk together except they be agreed. Amen? So we had some clothes that were washed, and we brought them inside. Of course, I brought them inside, put them on the bed so that when I have the time, I can just pack, you know, arrange them. So when I started to do the arranging, I was folding. There was a mat my children used. The mat was on the floor. So I was putting some clothes here so I can just easily put them in different, all the compartments where they belong. So I put some on the mat. Some were still on the bed. So I was just sorting them, the clothes, putting in the hangar, just all of that. Zoe was just 2 years, the other Saturday, not yesterday, 2 years. Zoe came and saw that I was packing clothes. In her mind, we are clearing the bed. That's all she understood from what I was doing. So she now started picking all the clothes from the bed, including the ones I've sorted, and throwing them on the mat on the floor. So we know. What are you saying? I'm helping you now. I'm helping your ministry. She didn't understand what I was saying. She was picking off the clothes from the bed and throwing them on the... Eventually, I just let her be. I continued just picking. Just let me finish up. She even climbed the bed. Very devoted. Went inside. Anyone that is inside, she was... Everything should leave this bed. Anyway, by the time I was done, I had finished sorting the clothes and, you know, everything was good. Put a new bedspread on the bed. And, we're going out. So I brought out the clothes my kids will wear. Just lined them up on the bed. So it's easy to just dress up and go. So I went on into the kitchen, tidied up. Only that when I now finished in the kitchen, bathed them. Then I went into the room to just pack and bring the clothes I have sorted out to dress them up. Everything was missing. The clothes, the underwears, nothing was on the bed. I'm like, I just stood like this for a moment. I was confused. I said, what's going on here? Did I bring out clothes? Wait. So I just looked around, and then she had put it where we keep dirty clothes. Ah, God. I just said, what have I done to these children? Oh, Jesus, help my life. So I went, she'd not just take out the clothes. She removed the bedspread. And dragged that one to the sitting room. Like, just thinking about it, you know, that is how we deal with God. So God is trying to do something. Just like, this is what God is trying to do. And we run before him and continue. God is arranging. Oh, okay. Wow, what an arrangement. You now start piling everything into the arrangement. Not knowing that it's just 10 clothes I want here. But you have gathered all your clothes and put in that place. Now it's out of shape. You know, I just started to think about it. How many times God was trying to put our lives in order, but we would not just submit to him. We would not just agree with him. I've shared a story once here, not once, I think many times really. When I went for a retreat somewhere, with one of my, she's gone home to be with the Lord. So, but I shared that in my mind, I was going to fast all of the days I was there. I had planned to fast, and I had imagined that by the time I'm done this fast, you better not cross me. I was going to be on fire. Like I could smell the fire even before I started the fast. I was imagining how I was going to be walking on air. You know, that's mindset. Only that, of course, she didn't know what I had in my heart. She didn't know what I had decided, what I planned to do. So, but after some days, when I came, she said to me, no, I'm not eating. It's okay. After some days, she's a prophetess. So she said to me, I don't know, but this is what God is telling me. That I am trying to, okay, she said it this way, you know, God can speak to us in pictures. That I am clearing the bushes and you are piling them back with fasting. Do you understand? I am clearing the bushes, but you are piling them up with fasting. Now, is fast bad? No. Is fasting wrong? No. But the point is that there's something I've attached to that my fasting. There's the thing I've put in it that will not let it work. Amen. So I am not agreeing with the Spirit of God. The retreat was what he wanted me to do. But I'm not listening to how he wants me to do that retreat. I'm not agreeing with him. I've already purposed in my heart what I wanted out of it. You know, as she was just saying that thing, I just grabbed a bottle of granite and began to chew and say, I'm hearing you. Keep talking. If it is you, won't you repent quick? But you see, that was a season of my life that literally I had the Samuel experience. Now, I was no longer fasting. But I remember one night I had my earpiece on. I was listening to Adrian Womack preaching and I literally heard my name, Chukwuka. I thought it was my mom calling me. So I put, you know how you put off earpiece and listen to be called again. Only that I listened, there was no call. So I put my earpiece back. I continued what I was doing. As soon as it feels like I was going to drift, maybe sleep, I will hear my name called again. So the second time I pulled my earpiece, I went on all fours and I peeped and she was sound asleep. So it wasn't her calling me. I'd just known it wasn't her. I put my earpiece back and the third time I was called. I said, okay, please speak. I'm saying that now I'm no longer fasting. I could tell you stories, literal things that happened to me just being in that fast. What was I doing? Praying, spending time listening to messages, spending time reading my Bible. That was all God wanted me to do. Leave your energy, leave your strength. Because the fasting was my strength. Now, I'm not saying fasting is wrong. I hope you get me. I'm saying doing something how he wants you to do it. Agreeing with him in how he wants you to worship him. Agreeing with him how he wants you. So you can come in the place of prayer and it's just, please sit quiet. He will not say, no, I must pray in tongues for 2 hours. If we've not, do you understand? Is praying in tongues for 2 hours wrong? Absolutely not. But agreeing with the Spirit of God gives us speed. Did you hear that? Agreeing with God's Spirit gives you speed. It gives you stability. Amen. So, when we agree with God, it limits the back and forth I was doing with Zoe. Oh, put it back. So I have to now start looking for clothes. I have to go and bring, now time I don't have. I have to go and bring the best friend and start trying to. In fact, I didn't even spread. Just put it on the bed. Just stay here first. Let's be moving. Because I don't have the time to do it again at that time. So many times we are wasting away precious time because we keep going back to Egypt. We keep going back from where God has brought us out from. We keep going back when we are supposed to be chewing bones. The Lord is still saying, stand, just try, keep trying. And of course, he will never give up on you. He's ever loving. He's ever loving. Praise the Lord. He's ever loving. He will love till the end. Because he is love. That's who he is. Hallelujah. That's who he is. John chapter 15. Tell somebody, agree with God. Say to him, submit to God. Surrender to him. Completely. Amen. I'll read from verse 4, John 15. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit. So, you will be my disciples. Praise God. If I ask how many persons want to bear fruit, every hand will go up. All of us want to produce results, we want to bear fruit, we want to bring forth much fruit. But Jesus is saying to us this morning, the way a mango tree cannot produce a branch of a mango tree cannot produce mango fruits if it doesn't remain on the tree, the same way we cannot produce fruit if we don't stay with the Lord. And when the Bible talks about staying, it's not just that we come to church. It's not just that we come into His presence. That is very good. It's not just that we come into it, a place of prayer. Very beautiful. It is that we stay in Him even in obedience. We stay in Him. Okay, what is He saying? We know now. We walk with Him through what He's saying, through what He wants to be done. Hallelujah. So staying with Jesus is that even when His instruction is not palatable, it's not something you want to do, you stay with that instruction regardless. You obey Him regardless. It is in obeying those His instructions that you bring forth much fruit. Do you understand what I'm saying? So when we are saying that we surrender daily, we surrender every day, it is that every day you wake up, He's saying, come walk with me. It is a new day to walk with Jesus. It is a new day to fulfill purpose. Your responsibility is, what are you saying to me today? What are you saying to me right now? What would you have me do? And you see, thank God for the Holy Spirit. It's not, okay, let's go and check. He can tell you. On the move. You just need to pay attention to what He's saying in your spirit. And you just listen. The reward, like I said, I don't know if I said it, but the reward of surrender is a topic. And I wrote here that a reward of surrendered life is intimacy. The Lord rewards us with intimacy. The Lord rewards a surrendered heart with intimacy with Himself. Hebrews 11:6. Can we get there? Hebrews 11:6, please. I can just open there. Says, without faith, it is impossible to please the Lord. Are we there? But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must do what? Must what? Believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. It is not possible to seek the Lord with all your heart and not find Him. Amen. He said, draw near to me and I will draw near to you. He's ever willing to draw near. You just need to take the step forward. Glory to Jesus. So He rewards us with Himself, with knowing Him. I was thinking about something, how that it is marriage that God used, or the Apostle Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, used to describe our relationship with the church and Jesus Christ. Amen. How that it will say that wives, of course, first of all, it says submit to one another, submit one to another. It now says to wives, submit to your own husbands. As what? The church submits to God. Have you given that a thought? You will say, of course, the church should submit to Christ. Christ is the head of the church. But I started to think, it's no wonder the battle and the whole noise about wives submitting. Amen. You know, when that topic comes up, everybody has their opinions. No, it shouldn't be. Just, it means this, it means that. But when we are talking about the church submitting to Christ, we don't have the same argument. In fact, you even raised the bar. They're not even doing this one. They're supposed to be doing this one. You will know what needs to be done. Thinking about it, I just thought about it this one. I said, you see, if you are unable to submit to your spouse, you can hardly submit to God. If you are struggling to submit to a spouse, you will struggle to submit to God. Is it not scriptural? If you are struggling to love the one you can see. If you say you hate somebody, how did the Bible say it? How would you say you love God if you can't even love the person you see? So how would you say you are submitted to God, but you can't submit to your husband? See, let's read it, because it seems I'm making something up. Ephesians, I believe it is 5. Ephesians 5:22. It says, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in what? Some things. Abby, when they are in the mood, when the man is loving them well, he says, in everything. Amen. Everything I said before is not true. He says, in everything. Amen. So it's like the way the wife submits to the church is equals to the way the church submits to Christ. You see that? Equals to. And the Lord lets us have that. So when you see and know how the church submits to Christ, we know, oh, this is what submission means. Hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. So we are not struggling to submit to Christ because he's our head. He's the head of the church. We should submit to him. He knows where we are going. He knows the end of the church. We don't know. So we are following him. That means we submit to him in all things. Praise the Lord. How many of us know that Jesus is coming back again? So how many of us are looking forward to his coming back again? Well, in case you don't know, or you have forgotten, or you don't believe it, I'm announcing to you that Jesus is coming back again. And it's sooner than when he promised. You know why it's particularly joyful for me when I think about it is that I get to see some people I've really missed. Okay? So in case you are saying, let it be far, I am the weapon fashioned against you. It shall not be far. Amen? Yes, now. It shan't be far. The Lord will not let it. Amen. But I'm saying to you that Jesus is coming back again. And when we understand that our days here are numbered, you will know that we don't have time to waste anymore. Today I came to just bring you an exhortation. People of God, Jesus is waiting on us. It is the Spirit and the bride that will say come. And the Spirit says come. The bride has to say come. Amen. That synergy, that agreement, that submission has to be there. Surrendering to Jesus is not, you are not doing God a favor submitting to him. You are not doing him a favor surrendering to him. I've already painted a picture for you before. You were in a helpless state. Everything you want to achieve, he wants you to achieve even more. When he says, what eyes can't see, what ears have not, what has not even entered into the hearts of men, that is my own plan. Your plan is what you have seen somewhere else. Amen? Your plan is as far as your eyes can see, what you've probably heard. But he says, mine is much more. So submitting to him is submitting to the possibilities in him. Submitting to Christ is yielding yourself to the possibilities, the things he wants to do through you. The mind-blowing things he wants to do through you. And when he comes, you know, you can just decide to just be, well, I come to church, I believe in Jesus. Well, we just, you know, manage to pray in the morning, pray in the night, God is good, hallelujah, and we move on. Jesus is not angry. However, when we come before the judgment seat of Christ, it is your works now You know, now we say, no, it's not by works. But works will be judged at the judgment seat of Christ. And the only way we can do a good work is that we are submitted to Jesus. If you look at Pastor Jesus, I think this is good. I like this one. Let me go this way. When we all appear, I'll be giving my own. You can't even present it because what you are presenting is not where you are sent. How do you know where you are sent? By submitting. There is how God has called you to follow him. Your consecration is different from everybody. There's a scripture, I hope I'll get to read that scripture in Romans chapter 14, where he talks about even the food that we eat. There are things that we eat. I mean, it's not sin, but you will eat it and it will become sin for you. Hallelujah. So it just tells me that this, our walk with God, is not the way you imagine it or the way you see it around. People of God, I'm saying it again and again, Jesus will have me remind you that he is coming. He is coming back again. It's not supposed to be a threat. It's supposed to be a joyful news. Right? It's supposed to be a joyful news. But you know, sometimes we lose sight of that heaven is better. One of my old friends will say, "Nonye maybe can oh wow. Nobody should spoil this world. If you spoil it, you pay him." If you are talking about Jesus coming, but the point is that he is coming again. It's not about that, is just flesh talking. Hallelujah. That is flesh talking. He is coming. And he will want us to get into the fullness of everything he wants us to do. Submitting to him, like I said, he brings you into that place of oneness with him, such that you begin to think his thoughts. You begin to do his deeds. You begin to take his actions. You are not struggling with, am I in the will of God? Why? I am submitted to him. So he not only rewards you with himself, he rewards you at the fullness of time with a well done, good and faithful servant. But if you have not been submitting to him, you are not a faithful servant. Oh, you are not a faithful servant. So it's a deep subject we are on. Because we all want to hear that. Well done, well done. Somebody said, I hope you don't hear, well, you're done. Amen. Well, you're done. So what to hear? Well done, good and faithful servant. Amen. So to hear that you are faithful, it means I am doing what you want me to do. I am doing what you want me to do. Let your heart seek God. Let your heart seek him in all honesty. You see, God knows we are not perfect. He never called any perfect person. Even in TCC, we are not a perfect church. Even if it was, the moment you joined, it became imperfect. Do you understand? Because we all are a work in progress. Jesus is working on all of us, but we have to submit to the workings. We have to submit to it. If you're basing somebody and you need the person to turn in a direction, if the person doesn't turn, what would you do? You keep saying, turn, turn, turn. You are trying to adjust it. Well, turn now. If it's a baby, you can now lift and turn by yourself. Is that turning? That is submission. Well, turn. Okay, you turn. You wash that place off. Oh, it's now clean. Okay, raise your leg. You raise. But if I say raise your leg, my leg has to be on the ground. Then we are now in disagreement. And we can't work together if we're in disagreement. So when the Lord is saying, turn your back, when he's saying, move this way, it's for your own good. It's for your own good. A brother was saying yesterday in our business in our business and leadership summit. I don't know why some of us didn't come, but you see, it was a blessing. It was a blessing. And I'm hoping that you can get to listen to some of the messages, some of the recordings. Amen. So the brother was saying something, of course, it's not new, but you know how the word of God can come to you very new. That things don't just happen to us, believers. Things don't just happen to you and it's a surprise. Oh, I didn't even know. Amen. Or let me say it this way. Things should not happen to us and nobody has a clue. Amen. Nobody had a clue it was coming. No, that's not how God made us. That's not who we are. The Holy Spirit is here to reveal things to come. That's what the Bible says. He tells us things to come. So, but you see, you don't have to hear it. You don't have to see it. You just have to know it. What I'm saying in essence is that our lives are actually dependent on our submitting to the Spirit of God. Let me say it this way. Your long life is dependent on listening to the Spirit of God. Your achieving success is dependent on your hearing the voice and listening and following the Lord. If you are sleeping, say amen. Shake your body. Shake, shake, shake your body. Shake, shake. Amen. God is good. Everything, you want to become a millionaire? God wants you to become a billionaire. You are the one thinking millions. So, but you see, it is subject to it's directly proportional to your submission to God. Hallelujah. It is directly proportional to your submission to God. Because if he's saying, invest in this, and you're busy chasing something else, how would you break into it? If he's saying, tarry, and you are running around, how would you break into it? If Peter and the disciples never stayed in your upper room, tarried, do you think the Holy Spirit will come and be chasing them where they are fishing, where they have gone back to collect tax to fill them up? Do you understand? But they followed the instructions, submitted to Jesus, stayed there until they had been endued with power. And of course, after that, they cannot be remembering fish again. That's not in the subject anymore. But before that, you know, he went back. So when the Lord is saying to us, see, come to me, put your ears down, follow me. It's in your best interest. It is that you achieve and fulfill every one of his plans and purpose for your life. You hear different men of God share a story of how that the Lord will just say, park your car in this place. And they're saying, this place is not where I should park. It's bad. It's bad. It's a turn. It's a sharp, sharp bend. Bending corner. It's a sharp bend. And the Lord, I said, park. Just move away. It's not my right of way. Park there. Now, this was a man, but the person that was sharing this story had gone, it's in South Africa, he had gone to John G. Lake, had gone to do a burial of a young pastor who had passed on. So while he was coming back, he was just asking the Lord, why would this happen? This guy was faithful, he was this, he was that. So he was just, and then the Lord said, park, you know, move away and back. And he was still asking the Lord, where? So eventually he just, you know, reluctantly. He was angry with God. You know, he was quarreling with God on his way. Quarreling. But then he now parked. And then where he should have been, the trailer now, blah, 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 and fell there. So the Lord said to him, you have seen now. If you continued and be angry and be quarreling with me and be asking me, why should I park there? It doesn't make sense, naturally speaking, to park, you know, park here. If you had continued on your way, maybe this thing would have happened to you and others would come and be asking me, why, Lord? Amen. I'm saying our lives are literally dependent on submitting to God. It's not a favor. Are you with me? No, your life is dependent on it. People of God, let's completely. It's not when we come to church on Sunday and we are like, oh, what a worship. It's good. But please, on Monday, let your ears be, Lord, what are you saying? It's a new day, like I said. We are leaving things behind. So don't even feel like, oh, I've been, it doesn't matter anymore. It's a new day. Amen. So from here on, Lord, it's me and you. I'm walking with you. I've been saying to you, come walk with me. Come walk with me. You can't do it on your own. You don't know the turns to take. You can't figure life out. Oh, these are brain can't. We can't figure life out. So our surrendering to God preserves your life. Your surrendering to God keeps you in alignment with His plan, His purpose. Your surrendering to God helps you fulfill purpose. Amen. So that at the fullness of time, you are proud to say, ah, Lord, you said that all you have called me to do is to teach children. I taught children with my life. And that is it. Well done, good and faithful servant. Not that, oh, you call me to, if you see what I did, I was hosting crusades everywhere. Okay, so the children I sent you to, what happened to them? You want to know what God has called you to do. Not because everybody is filling stadiums. Okay, let's go and fill stadiums. Is it good? Absolutely, yes. But what has He called me to do? Am I submitted to it? I've told a story here of a man who said that God called him to do what? That is take trash. He's a trash man. So he just tracked and be joyfully so. Just take tracks while at it. Tracks. So while he's taking your trash, he's giving you a tract and talking to you about Jesus. He was doing it. He got married. He still carried his son. They will be singing, rejoicing, and be doing it. No, he's not going to receive a less reward than the pastor holding the mic on Sunday. Because it's not how many times did you preach. No, nobody's going to ask you that. It's how faithful have you been in the work I called you. If it's your Lord, now He should be the one to instruct you what to do. If He's the Lord, if He's the Master, and He is. Sometimes when I tell my son, I say, if I tell you something, listen to it. Almost immediately, I get a backlash. Why? I expect instant behavior, instant fall in line. But am I instantly falling in line? Amen. When I say, nah, just as if that there's an eye. But when I say stop saying it, no. I will just start adjusting into instant obedience. Every mother here can relate with that. It's not just... Amen. Hallelujah. But like somebody said, children are there to actually show you how God wants you to behave. Children are there to show you how He wants you to behave. The relationship, how you want them to, you know, be prim and proper. Know that the Lord expects same for you. You see your child angry and fighting and you don't like it. He's mirroring, I don't like it too. So don't do it. So Jesus is coming back again and He's going to reward the works. You know, our works will be weighed. So like I'm just trying to emphasize the importance of hearing exactly what He wants you to do and doing it. Sometimes you can be asking, but I don't know now. You are in church. See, you know, when we try to just make, oh, well, whatever your hand finds to do, be doing it. Excellent. But I'm saying that you have the Holy Ghost. We have the Holy Ghost. There are things that draw to you. There are solutions that there are problems that are calling your name. You can't be comfortable until they are solved. You can be reading and you can't miss. If there's any error, you must spot it. You know, there are people like that. They just have this eye for any error, they will pick it. Any error, they will pick it. So you can get into, okay, every write-up we're doing tracts in church. You'll be the eye on it. It's a job. It's an assignment. It's a calling. Administration is a gift. Praise the Lord. No, I'm not speaking top of my head. It's scriptures. It's a ministry. Yes. It's a ministry. So when you come to church, there are things that are not in order. There are things that are not. See, there is a calling. It's a calling. Don't think they should be doing. No, it's a calling. When I was in Oka, I had joined a church, my family church. I just said, I don't want to join choir. I just want to come to church, hear the word, and run back home. It's a lie. It won't work. As I sit there, yeah, this person is singing up. The other one is singing down. Your body will be cringing. Your body, if you go home, you know that you'll be happy, basically. You won't be fulfilled. Why? There is something that has been deposited in you to solve that problem. So what is it that draws at you? But the problem is that sometimes we are looking at, there's something where your eye is already, you know, looking. There are things you imagine. You know, it has to be. When it's this big, it's a call. When it's, no. You come to church, you look around, there's a stain here. There's a stain here. It means do something about it. It's a calling. There's such a thing as ministry of helps. Hallelujah. Keith Moore said the Lord sent him to Papa Hagen. What was his call? Just make sure this man fulfills his ministry. You know, you say, what kind of call is that? Because give me my own call. Let me be doing my call. But your ministry is to go and assist this man of God. Ensure that he fulfills his ministry. So he stayed there for, I think, 12 years before the Lord now said, okay, you can start your own work. And I'll give him something to do extra, you know, something else to do. Everything that draws at you is call. Oh, are you hearing me? The Lord is calling all of you, all of us. Don't say it's too small. Oh, it's too, you know, it doesn't look. No, nothing like that. And don't say, oh, but I don't have the money. What? What? You don't have the money. So the one that is calling you can't fund it. Can't fund it. Young girls, young boys are littered all over you. You can't submit to the calling of God to minister to them. We don't have time. We don't have time to waste anymore. Don't keep sacrificing what you need on the altar of what you like. I'll explain that. Many times, what we like are things that come natural to the flesh, things that keep us in comfort. But you see, there are things you actually need. And most of the time, we're giving up what we need for what we like. For example, you need to study God's word, but you may like to play games. Hello? You may like to watch a movie. Watching a movie is not bad, Abby. Playing games is not bad. But when you spend the whole day watching movies, when you spend the whole day chatting with friends, when you spend the whole day, how has he added to your life? You see, at the end of the day, it's not what you need. Because what you need is God's word that gives life. God's word that brings light. That will show you the way to go, show you what you need to do. What you like, just use this body. Says, that's what I like. Just, you know, it's just entertainment. Entertains you. But after the entertainment, what next? Have you received instruction for your life? Have you received direction? Have you received what to do? Have you received strength to do the work the Lord has called you to do? No, you haven't. So you can do what you like, but please do much more of what you need. Amen. Do much more of what you need. You need to submit to God. You may like to just walk your own way. You may like to do what, you know, just do it as you want. But it will do you better to do what God needs you to do. Let me read that scripture I said I was going to read. Romans chapter 14. I will close from there. Romans 14. Throughout this month, in our midweek services, we've been on the book. Somebody remind me. What was the book we just finished learning from in our midweek services? Who remembers? Tell us now. You want to now do me like nobody remembers. You must remember in Jesus' name. I command you to remember. Come on now. Did you hear? You people will help her. Growing up spiritually in a busy world. Amen. Growing up spiritually in a busy world. Some remembered busy. Some remembered some. But growing up spiritually in a busy world. I said, and I'm saying again, that distraction is just a sign. It's a symptom of a problem. Amen. Distraction is a symptom of a problem. Once we come into the fullness of what God has called us to do, we are submitting to Him. You can hardly be distracted. The things that can distract you will be limited. Jesus had things that were pulling at Him that could have distracted Him. But you know what? He was so in on His call that He couldn't be distracted. It wasn't like, don't you think that people were, all those fishing, all those noise that happened at the fish, is it not something to go and stare? Wow. What a good fish. Stare at people fishing. The tax collectors, it's always a sight to behold. Because people are quarreling. Think about it now. The woman that they caught, isn't she the only one that was caught? They were catching people every other day. I'm just saying, there was a lot to cause distraction. But because his meat is to do the will of He that has called him, he is consumed by his calling, by the assignment God has called him to do, he could hardly be distracted. So like I said, it's a symptom, and my thought is that if the root is solved, which is literally being in alignment with what God wants us to do and being taken over by it, nothing else will matter much. Every other thing will pale. Every other thing will become smaller. You just not be drawn to these things. You know, you cannot not be drawn to something. You cannot just say, we're just going. Something will draw you. So, but if you put your heart to something, then there's no space for some of these other extras to draw at you. If you don't have time, you don't have time, Abby. If you have set this time to this time, this time to this time, there's no time. We don't have time for any other extracurricular because we have planned what we're going to do in 12 hours. Is that so? So let's say in a school running 7:30 to 2, they already have this time to this time, this time to this time, this. If a parent comes and says, oh, we want to do birthday, and it wasn't factored into the timing, you'd be asked, okay, when are we going to do the birthday? We don't have such time. So it's going to be what? After school. When we are done with our classes, we now organize the birthday. Why? We don't have time scheduled for any other thing. Our time is fixed, I hope. Amen? Our time is fixed. In the same vein, in our lives, we must learn to fix things in such a way that we don't have room for the distraction. But how can we do that if we're not submitted to God? How can we do that if we're not, inclining our ears to hearing His instructions? Amen. Okay, maybe one more scripture before I read Romans. The Bible says, excuse me, in James chapter 4 verse 7, it says, submit to God. resist the devil and he will flee, right? Submit to God. God opened that for us. Submit to God. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You can resist the devil. Amen? He's not, if you can resist him, Jesus is already telling you he's not that powerful, right? He's not that powerful. You can resist him. However, your ability to resist him is tied to your submission to Christ. So many things that we can resist, so many things we can tell off, we are struggling with it because the first thing is shaky. We didn't even hear God say, don't go that way. We didn't hear him say, don't do it. We didn't hear him say, do it. Because if you heard the Lord say, do it, you will face whatever is coming at you. God said, I should do it. You can face it head on, boldly, with courage. Joshua could lose. He could finish anybody. Why? The Lord said what? Be strong. Be courageous. Go on. I will be with you. So devil coming to just, you know, play 10-10 before us is just because we've not submitted or we are not submitted. There is a gap. There is a gap between the submission and the resisting. But it is you who will do the resisting, and you can. You can. Amen? Yes, you can. The Lord is good. Satan is not as powerful as we think. We can resist him. When we don't submit to Jesus, we give him a foothold. And then he feels like he can do something. Okay, Romans chapter 15. Put that up in NLT for me, please. New Living Translation. I'll just try and finish up from there. Oh, wow. Okay. Okay. We who are strong must be considerate of those who are sensitive about things like this. We must not just please ourselves. Go on. We should help others do what is right and build them up in the Lord. Go on. Just pay attention to this. For even Christ didn't live to please himself. As the scriptures say, the insults of those who insult you, O God, have fallen on me. Go on. Such things were written in the scriptures long ago to teach us, and the scriptures to give us hope and encouragement as we wait patiently for God's promises to be fulfilled. Sorry, I knew it wasn't. Chapter 14. That's what I'm looking at. Chapter 14. Please. He had the same intro. That's why I go. Accept other believers who are weak in faith and don't argue with them about what they think is right or wrong. Same thoughts, right? Okay. For instance, one person believes it's all right. That's what I'm looking for. For instance, one person believes it's all right to eat anything, but another believer with a sensitive conscience will eat only vegetables. Those who feel free to eat anything must not look down on those who don't. And those who don't eat certain foods must not condemn those who do. For God has accepted them. Accepted who? Those who eat, those who don't eat. Who are you to condemn someone else's servant? Their own master will judge whether they stand or fall. And with the Lord's help, they will stand and receive his approval. Go on. Amen. In the same way, some think one day is more holy than another day, while others think every day is alike. You should each be fully convinced, underline the word convinced, that you should each be fully convinced that whichever day you choose is what? You see that? Is acceptable. Go on. Those who worship the Lord on a special day, do it to honor him. Those who eat any kind of food, do so to do what? Are you with me? Since they give thanks to God before eating. And those who refuse to eat certain foods also want to do what? Please the Lord and give thanks to God. Go on. For we don't live for ourselves or die for ourselves. If we live, is to honor the Lord. And if we die, is to honor the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. Hallelujah. Christ died and rose again for these very purpose. To do what? To be the Lord, both for the living and of the dead. Hallelujah. Christ came for this purpose, that he may be both God for the living and for the dead. Put verse 10. Let's just read that too. Verse 10. Why do you judge your brother? It's verse 10, traveling to Ekiti State. But why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. My point in all of this long read is this. Your conviction. What is your conviction? What is your conviction? Do you realize that if I give and you're not convinced to give, and you give it, is sin for you? Do you hear what I said? I came now, just drop fat offering. And I'm like, let me go and give too. And you're not convinced that you should. Maybe you're having doubts. Should I not? And you just give because I gave. Scripture says you are sinning. Praise the Lord. You are sinning. Amen. What is your conviction in your walk with God? He tells you to wake up 4 a.m. That is your time with me. But you say, nah, this person wakes up by 7 now. Let me sleep. I can pray by 7. You can pray by 7. But what did he say you should do? There are clothes you can wear, and Jesus is, you know, it doesn't bother him. But then I go to wear it just because you wore it. I'm wearing it, and my heart is eating me up. I am sinning. So what is your conviction? That is why we must surrender everything to God. Let him lead our lives. Let him instruct us. Let him help us in our choices. Help us in our decisions. Hallelujah. Okay. So don't go about, I just want to also say that, don't go about judging people, you know, wondering why they do left or do right. The Bible even says, people that don't believe what you believe, don't go into argument with them. Clearly says, don't go and start arguing with them because they believe differently. So that's why I believe tight this, tight that is futile argument. It's unscriptural. Don't do it. Do what you're convinced to do. Submit to God in all things. Let your heart be clear before God. In the name of Jesus. Bow your heads. Father, we thank you. Lord, we thank you because you are a good God. Thank you for these words you have sent to us today. We give thanks. Thank you, Father. You are drawing us to yourself. You love us this much. Thank you, Lord. Father, this morning we bow our hearts to you. We go on and we incline our ears to hear you. We submit totally to you, Lord. It is as many that submit themselves to the leading of the Lord, the leading of the Spirit, that are the Son of God. As many who are led by the Spirit. Lord, we submit to your leading. We surrender our lives to you again today. We make up our minds to follow you. We abide in you, that we may fulfill all that you have called us to fulfill. I pray, Lord, that these words will not be stolen away. It will bring forth much fruit in our lives. In Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah.
This message was brought to you free of charge by the partners of the Cornerstone Church Enugu. For more resources and downloads, please visit our website at thecornerstoneministries.org. Our faith is based on the Word of God. It transforms us and it bears fruits for us.